RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to more Sam Panayotovich on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Sam Panayotovich with you till 9 p.m. tonight. Woo, is it cold? Low 20s. That's bear weather, baby. That's bear weather. Joining us now on the Circus Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today. He just won his fourth straight Illinois High School Football Championship. He played at St. Christina, Mount Carmel, Northern Illinois, was a Heisman finalist for the Huskies, and now he's back coaching the Caravan at 64th and Dante, Coach Jordan Lynch. What's up, Coach?
Sam, my man. What's up, brother? How are you?
Where do you put that fourth ring? Where does it go?
All honesty, we have a pantry, right? Above the pantry is like the supplement drawer, the protein drawer. All four of them, well, the fifth one's coming, but all four of them are right behind the protein jug. They haven't been touched. They just collect dust and protein powder. So I don't even show them off. They're in the cabinets, to be honest with you.
That's the name of your first book, Dust and Protein Powder. It's perfect. You know what's crazy? I talk to a lot of people that are close to the program, and I'm always in awe of how prepared everybody is and how ready to go to war they are. We're talking a day or two after the state title. You guys win four in a row, and one of your guys, one of your lieutenants, if you will, says, wait till you see next year's team. They're going to be maybe even better, and they're going to be even hungrier. And I'm thinking to myself, how does a team of 16, 17, and 18-year-olds get hungrier after winning another state title? Like, how is that even possible for a team so young?
Yeah, I think it's the one, the kids. The kids are so driven and are so into this whole thing, and they're believing, and they've had success. So the younger kids see that, and they're motivated by it. But it's also the mentors, the coaches, the teachers, the administration staff, from our president, Brendan Conroy, to Scott Tabernacki, our principal, to our AD, Phil Segros. We just have great people around them that are always constantly – we don't have a lot of critics in the building. We have mentors for the kids, and we're pushing these kids every single day. But they allow myself to be a coach at the end of the day and teach these kids the right way. But it's the culture and standards built there, and how the culture and standards built is very simple. It's what it's what we allow. It's what I allow, and to keep these kids motivated, I'm not letting off anytime soon because last time I checked, winning's fun. And, we love to win. So it's great to win four in a row. And, people are always talking about next year's team and next year's team. And, it started already. These kids are in the weight room ready to go. So before you know it, I wish we had spring football. But before you know it, we'll be here in the summertime and the 2026 season will be ready to go.
I noticed a little bit more of a buzz this year. I was back in Chicago for Thanksgiving, and you had a lot of pride because you had a lot of Catholic teams playing on that final weekend, right? Mount Carmel, you guys, Rita and Rice going heads up. Fenwick, I know you went to Northern with the coach, Coach Batags over at Fenwick. You could just feel that energy, man. Four Catholic League teams and three Southside teams playing final weekend. Did you feel it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's it's the best conference in the state of Illinois. So there's no better football than Catholic League football. And the way we look at it too, we played Rita Rice this year and we played Fenwick. And so, beating those teams that, the schedule's no cupcake, that's for sure, because teams that we played and we beat won 6A and 7A this year. So it was great, though. It's always good for Catholic League football and, for those guys to represent our state.
I'm sure you're tired of talking about private against public, but let's talk private against public. I don't know why it is every year you guys all play, fair schedules. You all have a chance to win a championship, and yet we have to do the same song and dance every year. When a Catholic League team wins a championship or wins multiple championships, it's not fair. It's not fair. And I don't understand why we always have to do this. Like, and I know you've answered this question in both papers. You've answered it on radio, on television. But for those that haven't heard your response to the whole, there needs to be a private bracket and there needs to be a public bracket in high school in this state, what is your response to that?
The big thing, it's yes, I made the comment that it's getting exhausting and, kind of ticks people off. But the big thing is, man, it's with this whole argument is what they keep coming at the Catholic schools is, to me, I take it personal because you're going after the kids and you're just saying that these kids have talent and they're not working. There's no sacrifice and hard work on their end, which is untrue. These kids, if we're able to get a kid out of your area and he comes here to Mount Carmel and pays tuition, and you lose him out of your area where he can go for free, then you deserve to lose him. That's how I look at it. But no one asks the kids either, ask the kids, why do they want to come? Why would they rather travel, 30, 35 minutes, 40 minutes, sometimes an hour in traffic to come to a Catholic school? It's, instead of going to their local school, because they want to be pushed. They want to be around the best and they want to be coached by the best. And it's proven that Catholic League football is that. And, I'm not talking bad about, the public schools at all or any of the kids because they work hard too. They all work hard. But for them to say that, we have it easy and we don't have the best players. We don't have the best players. We have the best culture and we have the best teachers and mentors. That's something they should be looking into. And the other thing of it, I've had, when we made our playoff run, I won't say any names of what schools they were, but I've had two public league schools that were in the playoffs that came out and shadowed us for a week to try to get our formula, to try to see the recipe and see what it takes. And they walked away impressed and they said, that's where their practices need to be. That's the message they need to be sending. So, but that's this day and age, Sam, right? The people, you'll never meet a hater doing better than you. So these people want to call and complain and do all this. Look at yourself in the mirror and just get better. Just get better. And it's that simple. And if it doesn't work out, then hold yourself accountable. There's no accountability ever. They just want to point the finger instead of just looking themselves in the mirror. Hold yourselves accountable and hold your program accountable.
We're talking with Jordan Lynch, head coach, Mount Carmel football team on the South Side. I just got tired of it in the playoffs because I heard so much about, and I'm saying this, not you. I heard so much about how great Lincoln Way East is and how great their quarterback is, and he's going to go to USC, and Mount Carmel's never seen an offense like this, and you guys blow them out. And then after the game, those same people are saying this. Oh, well, it's a private school. You can't. I mean, how could you do both? How do you play both sides? East is going to win. East doesn't win. And then, oh, well, it's just a private school. It's infuriating right to me, man.
Yeah, well, the big thing, too, is, and I'm not naming a particular school, but public schools need to stop acting like they don't recruit. Just stop acting like they don't recruit and they don't get transfers in during a year, because you can look at a few of the schools and those kids have transferred in and they're coming from a way longer distance to transfer into that school. So they need to, they got some skeletons in their closet and they need to stop trying to call out the Catholic school for doing all this, recruiting, because every kid in Mount Carmel is recruited. But for public schools to act like they're not out recruiting is just crazy to me.
You've been there almost a decade now. Time flies when you're having fun and when you're winning games. Who's the one opponent you look back on when you turn the tape on, you and your staff, and you saw this player, this quarterback, this receiver, this running back, and you went, uh-oh, we got our work cut out for us against this kid?
Yeah, well, I mean, quarterback wise, when you look at it, and we just talked about Luke Wayes, and I know that, you know, we got on top of him and we running clocked him, but that quarterback's pretty special on tape. He's pretty special on tape, and Lincoln Riley usually doesn't miss on quarterbacks, you know. So when you turn on the tape and this kid, how he throws it, and seeing him live throw it, you know, he's pretty special. He's a pretty special player.
That's Lincoln Wayes quarterback Jonas Williams, who's going to go to USC, and you're dead on. Lincoln Riley usually gets it right. Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, Caleb Williams, I think he knows what he's doing. So that'll be fun to follow Jonas's career as he heads from Lincoln Way to Southern California. We're already, deep in this interview. I guess I just have two more questions, because you're a Chicago kid through and through. Grew up on the South Side, went to Mount Carmel, played college ball at Northern, and now you're back coaching at your alma mater. Where's your favorite place to get a slice in the city?
Man, our number one spot, and my parents go there. My parents probably go there. It's closed on Tuesday, so I can't say 7 days a week. So they go 6 days a week, and I kind of grew up on it, is Rosangela's Pizza in Evergreen Park.
Oh, yeah.
Right across the street from the hospital. So that's probably our go-to. We have Palermo's right by us. You know, if you want like that sweeter kind of sauce. And deep dish wise, I kind of like Blue Malnati's, to be honest with you.
You get the Rosie's well done or regular? Our buddy Mark Oliver says it's not a Chicago cut unless it's well done. And they pull it out of the oven, the bottom is black. And I'm like, Ollie, that is not how we eat our pizza.
Oh, that's great. No, it's every once in a while I'll get it well done.
Yeah, I don't like the well done. It's okay, but it's a little overrated if you ask some people. Oh, it's got to be well done. I want the bottom to be charred. Nah, just give it to me. Give it to me the way I like it. Last thing here. This sort of the theme of this show tonight. We were talking about earlier our favorite Bears team. And it's not the best team, because that's sort of an easy one for most people. They'll say 85. But your favorite team. And I gave out my analogy, the 0-1 team. Urlacher's beginning as a star player in this league. Mike Brown with all the big plays late in games to win those games. Do you have a favorite Bears team?
You know what? I mean, the team that I enjoy watching the most, right? I mean, it's current, I think. That would be my favorite team to watch right now. I think they're fun. They got them believing. But when I look back to some of my earlier childhood growing up watching them, right around, it has to be the early 2000s right there, mid-2000s, with when Urlacher and Briggs, Mike Brown, Nathan Vasher, Charles Tillman. I just can't name the quarterback. Who was it, Jim Miller or so?
Could have been Jim Miller, Shane Matthews. Jeez. I mean, you can go to you want to go to Sexy Rexy Grossman?
Yeah, then tailback, like the A-Train at the time, was a hell of a running back. But, yeah, those, I remember more defensive players, and I'm kind of offensive-minded. That's why I say currently now.
Yeah, well, this team, I mean, there's no Bears team in our lifetimes that was scoring 30, 40 points a game, man.
Right. Yeah, no, they're fun to watch. And once again, Ben Johnson's got those guys believing.
Yes, he does. And they believe in you at Mount Carmel. That's Jordan Lynch, head football coach, up, by the way, for the National Head Coach of the Year. He's going to get on a plane next week and go down there. He's one of five finalists for National Head Coach of the Year. I appreciate you joining me. I know the family had a Merry Christmas. Good luck next season, and hopefully you bring home some more hardware next week, Coach. Thank you so much.
For sure. Thanks for having me on, Sam.
There he is, Jordan Lynch, Mount Carmel head football coach. I had to go back in the time machine and look at the stats that senior year at Northern. I forgot how crazy this year was. He finished third in the Heisman behind Jameis Winston and A.J. McCarron. Jameis had 668 first place votes. He was the hands-down winner. It wasn't close. But his senior year at Northern, Jordan Lynch had 4,800 total yards and 47 touchdowns. And you're not going to see that, I don't think, ever again at Northern. 24 passing, 23 rushing for Lynch. That was an unbelievable year. Also that year, they played against Army, and if you remember the way I remember it, they went, or was it the year before against Army? Yeah, that was the 2012 year. He scored a rushing touchdown against Army, and then saluted the cadets. That did not go over well for the cadets. They did not like that. He ran for a touchdown and then just looked at the cadets and, hi-ya! So that was great. You notice he kind of gave a double answer there, though, on his favorite Bears team, because he's a Ben Johnson guy, Studs, which I respect. And a lot of coaches obviously have a lot to like about Ben Johnson and the creativity and all that. But the other team he gave is my favorite Bears team. That's the 01 team. And I remember I was 12 that year, just to give everybody a little context. And when you're younger, you root, but you don't remember, if that makes sense. When I'm 6'7", I don't – I did not do that on purpose, by the way. I did not do 6'7" on purpose. But when you're that young, you don't – I mean, most people don't remember the day-to-day, the week-to-week. I remember every Bears game in 01. I do. I remember the back-to-back weeks with Mike Brown, the game-winning touchdowns, one against San Fran, one against Cleveland. That team went 13-3, and I was hooked. That was Dick Geron, the head coach, with John Shoup calling the plays and Greg Blash running the defense. That was Urlacher's second year. So he followed up a Rookie of the Year campaign in 2000 with a second-place finish in the Defensive Player of the Year in 2001, had 118 tackles, recovered two fumbles. He was everywhere, man. He was everywhere that year. And then the next year, he had 153 tackles. But that team wasn't supposed to be good, and they were. And for me, it was that underdog thing. And they were in all these games, and they just kept getting the breaks to fall their way. Looking back, I wanted them to do big things, but I didn't think Jim Miller and Shane Matthews were the answers. But that's my favorite team. It's a different conversation than best team. Most people would say, duh, 85. But your favorite team is different. Your favorite team is the year that you'll never forget. Maybe it was your first. Maybe it was your first successful Bears teams. And there haven't been a lot of them. I mean, good Lord. Here are the playoff games that I remember in my lifetime. 0-1, they go 13-3, they lose to the Eagles. First game, that was a home game. And then the next year, they went down to Champaign. 0-5, they go 11-5, lose to the Panthers at home. Now, 0-6 was different. You beat Seattle, you beat New Orleans, make it to the Super Bowl, lose to the Colts. And then in 2010, you beat Seattle, lose to Green Bay in the NFC Championship. Since then, though, there's nothing. There's not a playoff win. And I think that's the problem that people my age and older have. There's just no wins. I vividly remember three playoff wins in my life. Three! That's why I think a lot of people believe in this Bears team. But I'm curious, who's your favorite team? Which team did it for you? Was it a player? Was it a quarterback? Was it a coach? For me, it's the 0-1 team. Hands down. I was in high school when they went to the Super Bowl, but that wasn't my team. My team was the 0-1 team. Studs, you're an 0-1 guy, right?
So it's tough for me. If I'm picking, now I will say the 2001 team was the year I became a fan. So, but I think my favorite team would be 06. I mean, I really liked that team. Probably because I was a little more football conscious at that point. You know, 2001, I was 10 or 11. And I didn't really understand the game super well at that point. But by 2006, you know, I was playing high school football and the Bears had become my favorite team. And so I really understood what I was seeing. So I think, and they went to the Super Bowl and you had Devin Hester, the whole thing. So yeah, I think that would be 2006 for me.
We have a text from the 847 who says, my favorite team was the team that got us to Caleb. It's very fair. If that's how you feel.
The 3-14 2020 or 2022 Bears.
Oh, I don't have time. And people would turn the radio off or rip the radio out of their cars in anger at some of the Bears teams that I had to cover over the years. That last Trestman year was a disaster. I was doing a sideline hit that game, the Bears against the Dolphins. That was the game. I was on the sideline for Westwood One, and that was the game that they lost to Miami, and Brandon Marshall, we were all outside the locker room waiting to go in, and Brandon Marshall was screaming at the team that they didn't have any heart, and they were all soft. and we're all outside. And you could hear that. I mean, there's a door that's closed, but he was, y'all ain't got no heart! Y'all soft! And, like, he didn't even have that good of a game. And you're thinking at the time, this could be it for this group. This group together with Brandon Marshall and Martellus Bennett and Jay Cutler and all those egos and personalities. And it's amazing, actually, that it didn't last. Let's talk about this. Your favorite Bears team of all time. Who is it? 312-644-6767. We're talking to you next on the score.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to more Sam Paniatovich on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
Let's get to it. Phones are busy. As my old buddy Mike North would say, light them up. 312-644-6767. Talking Bears. Plenty of Bears conversations we've had so far tonight on The Score. Do you believe? Easy question. And what's your favorite Bears team of all time? I do. Before we get to Terry in Lakeview, I wanted to read this text. Thank you to CJ in Lake Geneva. Shout out CJ from the 815. I stand corrected. In that talk with Coach Lynch, I said there were four Catholic League teams in the finals. I was wrong. There were five. Providence also made the state championship game and fell to Wheaton, St. Francis, 39-35. But Fenwick wins the state title. They're second under Coach Battaglia. And then, of course, the battle around the south side. Brother Rice beats St. Rita 16-0. Carmel over Oswego 20-3. So five Chicago Catholic League teams make the state championship weekend in the year 2025. Again, 312-644-6767. You can call me, you can text me, and you should. Terry's been patient in Lakeview. What's up, Terry? Welcome to The Score.
Hey, you know, I just want to throw something out there. First of all, big Chicago fan, Cubs, Sox, everybody. But, you know, I think one quarterback, as we were having that, if you were having that discussion that was overlooked, was rookie quarterback Kyle Orton. He gave the city and the team hope. And, you know, I think he was like 10 for 5. And then Grossman came in for the first game of the playoffs and lost. You know, that could have gone either way, depending. I mean, you know, there's nobody's got a crystal ball. I'm not going to call Cleo. But, you know, I feel like as far as Chicago quarterbacks or good quarterbacks go, I think he was one that just gets honorable mention.
He was so fun to watch at Purdue, too, Terry. When he played for Coach Tiller and they were just slinging that thing in West Lafayette, he was one of the better college quarterbacks I've ever seen. And you're right. He goes 10-5 year one, Kyle Orton, and then just gets hurt. Like, sometimes that's half the battle, staying on the field.
Well, it was Grossman had been hurt, which is why he was starting. And then Orton was struggling to score points, and they decided to bring Grossman back out on, like, Christmas Day during one of their – I can't remember which game it was.
Yeah, but then Orton didn't play in 06, right?
Right, right, because that's – Rex was the starting quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's
so
right.
So just to clarify, Orton essentially went back to the bench – for Rex at the end of 05.
If I remember, though, like there was
maybe,
a lingering...
Maybe he did have an injury.
There was a lingering thing. It wasn't like a season-ending injury, but there he was playing, from what I can remember, he was like playing hurt.
Oh, see, I didn't remember. That was 15. I didn't know that.
No, it's I mean, it wasn't like a torn ACL or anything, but look, Kyle Orton, I remember reading it in the paper, game manager. He wasn't going to make these huge 80, 85-yard touchdown drives, but he, for the most part, he was an accurate guy who tried to protect the football, as I look at his career stats, 13 picks one year.
He got better after he became the starting quarterback in, what, 07? In those couple years he was the starter, he was much better than what he was as a rookie.
Yeah, and then he kind of fell out of flavor, and like you said, the year they go to the Super Bowl, that's the Grossman year, and then Orton plays three games in 07, did go 15 games in 08, went 9-6, and then, of course, he gets traded for Jay Cutler. But he was a fan favorite. People liked Kyle Orton.
Oh, he's one of my favorite Bears players ever. I really liked him.
Yeah, but he didn't possess the tools that...
Right, 100%. Well, I was one of the few people, when they traded for Cutler, I was the one of the few people that was like, I don't think Orton's the real problem here. Not that Cutler wasn't better, but I was like, they don't have any receivers, guys. And then the first year, Jay Cutler's first number one receiver is Devin Hester. So it was like, okay, what are we doing?
I did laugh. I got a text from the 219. I was talking about how the 01 team is my favorite Bears team of all time. I got a text that just says Bernard Berrien. It's a very good text. Nothing else. Just the name Bernard Berrien. Let's go to Don in Rolling Meadows. Hey, Don.
Hi. Hey, good evening. Love your show. Every Sunday when I do my weekly schedule, I put this show on Tuesday nights on my schedule to do. So anyway, why I am calling. The Bears, with that San Francisco win, I believe won the Super Bowl of NFL media. I'm an engineer. I've talked to people all over the country and in Canada on power plants. They all love the Bears. This team was a laughing stock last year, okay? And they are now the darlings of TV. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely a sexy team. There's a reason we've seen them on national television multiple times. There's a reason that Fox rolled out Kevin Burkhardt and Tom Brady to do that game against Green Bay. You don't put them in that position as a network if you don't believe that people will be entertained. And I know I said earlier, entertainment is a big deal for me. I'd like to be entertained. I'd like my teams to have chances to win. I know we all want to win, but it's not that easy. I was around a lot of bad teams. I have the list here. I was there from 2012 when they went 10-6, missed the playoffs, and fired Lovie. I covered an 8-8 team, a 5-11 team, a 6-10 team, a 3-13 team, and a 5-11 team. Like, that's what I had to deal with every day. Going up there, you didn't want to go. The drive sucked. I live south, had to go to Lake Forest. You never liked any of those coaches, Tressman, Fox, Nagy. It was just no fun. It was no fun to be there. It was no fun to talk about. And then when you're home or you're out with your buddies, people think you have the coolest job in the world. And it was an awesome job being a reporter in this town. But covering the Bears was my least favorite thing. I did all the teams in town. Blackhawks, Bulls, Cubs, Sox, Bears. The Bears were my least favorite. And a lot of that was because of Cutler and how he treated us. But that's whatever. I mean, I'm going to get off my soapbox here. I talk about sports for a living. It's not hard labor. Trevor, I know, wants to take this in a different direction, driving on I-39. What's up, Trevor?
Hey, how's it going, man? Yeah, I guess I was looking to get a little educated, I guess, on this whole private versus public debate, because, I mean, living in Illinois for 33 years, there really isn't another side to it. It's not like, it's like, yes, it's a little ridiculous. And then when Jordan Lynch was like, yeah, buddy, if I come into your area code and I recruit your guy and he wants to come to me, you don't deserve him. Like, yeah, well, duh. If you come to a 15-year-old, it's like, hey, dude, no one's ever gone to D1 at your high school. Maybe three people in its history. Five people go D1 every year. We win state every year. Like, who's going to be like, yeah, no, I'm good. I want to go play in the dirt field, right? Like, I just guess it was a little ridiculous. So I'm just kind of looking for some education on why there's another side to it. Like, what's the argument that it's, like, all good?
Well, the argument is that the public schools have done a lot of reshuffling, and not every public school, because they don't have the resources to do this. But, I mean, we've seen several big players in the last 5 years go from, let's say, Bolingbrook to, like, Waukegan. You know, like, that's an insane flip. And it's, like, it's very ironic that a player goes from so far to a school so out of reach, and then that team suddenly is a power. There's a lot of that, and that happens, you know, on the South Side with Phillips. You know, a lot of the public schools have been saying for a long time that Phillips just pilfers all the good public school teams, and then players that were out of the Phillips range or out of the, you know, area use grandma's address or uncle's address, and they're not supposed to technically be at Phillips. But as for the public and private argument, I don't know. I did a Preps Plus Chicago show up the dial for 4 years. I do not hate the idea of public against private. I think it's the best way. But until we get there, like, I'm tired of having this argument. I'm tired of saying, oh, well, the private schools all recruit. Well, yeah, that's why they're private schools. I think the best way to do a high school playoff system, and again, the IHSA doesn't care what I think, but here's what I would do. I would put all the private schools in one bracket, and I would put all the public schools in another bracket. And you might have to tier those in classes because you have so many schools, of course. But if we have 8A right now, you could do, what, 5 public and 3 private? So you have 1 through 5A in public and then 1 through 3 in private. I think that shuts everybody up. Then what? I think Trevor's right, though. Like, the issue with Coach Lynch, and again, I went to high school with Jordan, is that, like, Jordan has created a monster there. And the only thing you can say negatively about that program is, oh, well, they recruit. Well, so does every other private school. And trust me, Carmel was a powerhouse in the 80s and 90s. Carmel wasn't winning state titles in the 2000s and 2010s. They just weren't. And now they're winning every year. But that's what they've built. And that's what they're building. So I do understand the argument, for sure. I think it's best to separate public and private, because then we never have to hear about how the public schools can't recruit and the private schools do. That's how I feel about it. But again, I went to private. Did you go public or private, Studs?
So where I grew up in central Illinois, a little bit north, this small town north of Springfield called Petersburg. And it's public school, obviously. There's only one private school that I'm really aware of in the Springfield area, that's Sacred Heart Griffin.
Yes.
And so I grew up in, you know, it was public school and mainly playing public schools. I don't think we ever played a private school, actually, because SHG was also bigger than us. So we were 3A and they were 5, and I think they might be 6 now. So, but I do remember not liking them because I felt like they got more coverage. That, like, my senior year, we were really, really good, and we didn't get any real attention until SHG got knocked out of the first round in the playoffs, and now all of a sudden everyone's talking about us. So, but they always kind of got preference, but that was just jealousy. But as far as public versus private, it's never really bugged me as much. Maybe that's because I have a different perspective of never having to go against private schools. Right now, if we'd have gotten far enough in the playoffs, I think we would have, but
and get rolled by a private powerhouse.
But there's just less at that level under 4A. We'll say there's not a ton of public schools, and the reason is because there's the multiplier that IHSA has that essentially forces private schools to play up a level, And like IC Catholic is one of the few genuinely like powerhouse private schools that's in small school football. They're in 3A, I believe they were this past couple of years.
Yep.
So I have a different perspective. Like, it never really bothered me. And this is was a new argument to me when I moved up here that everyone sees, like, oh, yeah, because all the private schools win the state championship. And I was like, well, yeah, that's how it is. They get the best players. So that's how it's going to be. I don't know. I think it's fine how it is, honestly. And so I understand when people see private schools winning almost all the championships that they get upset and they say it's not an even playing field. Well, the IHSA does try with that multiplier to, like, hey, you're going to play up a level. And some of those private schools that had really good records go up a level and get smoked, you know? So it's not as if there's not two sides of this. So I don't know if they would ever separate, because this has been, it's never been any different.
They probably wouldn't.
Yeah.
I think it would solve a lot of complaints, though. But it doesn't mean it's going
to
happen.
Yeah, and it seems to be, like, we only really talk about this with, like, football and, to an extent, basketball. Maybe because they're two biggest sports. But, you know, this is like, it's like this for every sport. And those are the two things that people watch every year on when IHSA broadcasts the state championships and they see the private schools winning. And it's like, well, it's not necessarily, like, I don't think it's an uneven playing field, I guess is what I'm getting at. Like, I have never felt that strongly either way about it. And maybe they can alter what the multiplier is and things might be a little different now that they expanded the playoff field. So to me, I don't think it needs to be changed. And I think they can keep it as it is. But no, now if they came and said we're going to separate them, I don't think I would have a strong feeling that way either.
Yeah, it's a very polarizing topic, and we do have a bunch of texts about this. Maybe we'll read some of these on the other side. We've got a couple about recruiting and the cost of these private schools. Got a couple comments about some teams that have been caught with their hand in the cookie jar. And I'm sorry, there are two schools that are now in the Catholic League that I can't allow that to be a thing. I mean, I guess technically it is, but that's like saying Oregon's in the Big Ten. They are, but they aren't. This is the score.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different, good different. Try something that feels like you, you know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to more Sam Paniatovich on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
And we are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. 670 The Score, 312-644-6767. We got a good one in the Music City Bowl. Don't you touch that dial, because I'm going to talk about how fat and disgusting I am in about 3 seconds. But Tennessee is up 28-27 on the Illinois Fighting Illini, but Illinois has first and 10 at the Tennessee 18 with a 1:48 to go. So we will keep you posted on if the Illini can finish the job. The question now, if you're Brett Bielema, do you try and milk the clock and play for the field goal, or do you go for it all? Tennessee has all that SEC speed. So if you score too soon, we could see the Vols maybe come back down. But it is on in the studio, and I will do my best to keep you posted here. Lots of text, and please text in 312-644-6767. Again, these are texts from other people, not from me. I'm just going to rip them. 630 says, the wrestling team at Montini buys championships. Oh, boy. We have riled people up. I tutored in Rockford, and a kid was recruited. Montini got him a condo during the week. So he used that as his, I guess, eligibility. Oh, I live in the area. That's wild. Again, these are texts. These are not facts or stats from me. 847, about the whole private and public debate. What happens if the recruit and his family can't afford to pay the private school tuition? Very fair question. Most Illinois high school private organizations, let's call them that. You want to call them schools? I'll call them organizations. They give scholarships to anybody good. Now, are you getting a full ride, a half ride, a quarter ride? That's all worked out on how you project, but that's how it goes. So if a private school wanted to recruit a public school player, there will be a scholarship involved, and you can read into that however you'd like. I'm not going to exactly tell you how to recruit, because that's not my job. But that's what happens. These kids get scholarships. Here's another 630, a different number from the 630. Glenbard West paid for housing for half of their 2012 football state championship roster. They got the entire starting lineup from Driscoll. All right. And then this text I love. St. Francis and Montini are also part of the Chicago Catholic League. They got swallowed up when the SEC disbanded. Okay. Technically, they're in. They're not, though. They're not Catholic League teams. That's like saying Oregon and UCLA and USC and Rutgers are Big Ten teams. Sure. Technically, yes. But when you think Big Ten, are you thinking Oregon? No, you're not. So I'm sorry. Congrats to St. Francis and Montini for making runs, but those are not Catholic League schools the way I know them. A follow-up on this Rockford situation. This is wild. 773 saying Boylan High in Rockford, they recruit players all the time. So, okay. I guess, I mean, look, it happens. It does happen. As I think we have a fourth down in Tennessee. No. Sorry, second and six. I was watching a highlight of an older game. I love when they do that. When you're watching a game with no sound and it's a tight game, 1-point game, 2 minutes to go, we're going to show you this highlight from 1995 to throw you off the scent. Why? Why do we have to do that? As Illinois is inside the 15 trying to take the lead on Tennessee in the Music City Bowl, and they get stuffed on second and six. More support for your guy Kyle Orton, though, studs, on the text line, 815. Kyle Orton, he beat the Packers twice. Yes, he did.
He has a winning record in his career. I think he was like 5-1 against the Packers.
Was he really? I know he was a winning quarterback overall in Chicago. I didn't know that that was his success rate against the Packers. I will take your word for it. I can tell you this much. Kyle Orton as a starter in Chicago was 21-12. Here's what's funny, though. 30 touchdowns and 27 picks. His record is better than his stats would indicate. If you're a 30-touchdown thrower and a 27-interception thrower, you're probably going to be closer to 500. But Kyle Orton was 21-12.
So yes, he was 5-2 in his career against the Packers. Those aren't all with the Bears, but in his career, 5-2 against the Packers.
There's another story that I covered in town. This is years ago, and if you're a lifer like I am here in Chicago and you grew up here, you'll remember the Jackie Robinson West team that was a Little League powerhouse on the South Side. And I covered that team when they started to get deeper and deeper in the playoffs, and then they went from the state playoffs to the regional, and then they went all the way to Williamsport. I believe they finished in third place. And it later came out, after all the celebrations and parties, and the state was naming this after the team and that after the team. And I remember I went down to Jackie Robinson Field on the South Side, like 105th and, 105th, not Bensley, but something like that. I can get you the cross streets if you're really interested. But I went down there, and they had a pep rally. And it was the most fun I ever had covering an event as a reporter. They were having a cookout at the baseball complex for the team. And they were playing, McFadden and Whitehead. Ain't no stopping us now. And they were, I mean, it was a party down there. And then it turned out a couple weeks later, a month later, they were lying on their residential forms. And the star left fielder was from Oak Park, and the second baseman was from Dalton, whatever. Like, it all comes crumbling down at the end.
Were some of them older than they should have been, too?
I don't think you had a Danny Almonte situation, but you definitely had some kids that were not living in the Jackie Robinson West district. And that's why people get upset. Because if you are a parent of a kid who's on a team or in a program that does it right, and other people are not doing it by the books, you get upset. And this does happen. It's not just in high school. It's also, these travel teams and these little league factions. I mean, it literally happened to Jackie Robinson West. They had to give back their third place championship or whatever. I think they lost in the U.S. championship game to who, I don't remember. But I do remember Ain't No Stopping Us Now at the cookout on the South Side. That was something else. I have this list, and I've been teeing it up, and I've been teasing it, and I've been very bad at paying it off. You won't even believe the food I've had in the last 12 days. It makes me sick even looking at the list. And I put it together for Studs, and I said, I want to talk about this because we're all going through it right now. Family and friends, you're all together, you're eating, you're sitting around the house pounding cookies, and pounding fudge and caramels and drinking and everything. I've had to cut it down to like a meal a day, and I have all of my dinners since Friday, December 19th, and I would like to discuss you all next on The Score.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.